Okay, welcome to our very first storyteller snapshot. And we are here on Crown Street in Sydney with the very lovely Dave Harrison.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So we just wanted to catch up with Dave briefly. He's a fantastic actor with a, I'm sure you have a slew of other talents.
Oh, everyone does, don't they?
That's right.
That's what amazing we've been discovering so far. Yeah. But we're here with him today just to ask him a few quick questions and find out what he's up to in Sydney.
Yeah, well, the first thing is, I guess, you were originally a Melbourne boy.
Yes, I was, and for 20 years.
For 20 years, and then you've come up to Sydney. How did you find that move?
I found the move to be really challenging and interesting, and it kind of pushed me in a new direction. Like, I was very comfortable in Melbourne because I've been acting since I was about 11. So, thankfully, I've had an agent that whole time. So, I've kind of been in and out of casting rooms and working that whole time and meeting people. And I kind of took that for granted, I think.
Yeah, became comfortable a little
really
bit
really comfortable. Yeah. And I was just like, when I got here and it was starting again in a way that, you know, I couldn't get into any rooms and people weren't interested in meeting me, which was absolutely fine. It's just very humbling and actually showed me how much more work I have to do, It feels like in Melbourne, I knew exactly where I was, what I was doing, how to do it. But then I came here and I was like, oh, right, there's so much more that I need to do in order to get better.
That's a positive reaction to have too.
No, but it was really, it was such a challenge. And, you know, I was quite negative about it as well for a couple of months. But then in hindsight, it shows me how much bigger the industry is that I wasn't prepared for.
And who wants to just be comfortable?
Like, yeah, totally. Mm.
Yeah, totally. If you've got nothing to strive for, that's not a great situation.
Totally.
So what do you feel like the biggest differences, you know, now that you've been here a few months and you've had time to adjust to being in a new environment, what do you feel the biggest differences that you've experienced so far between the Melbourne industry and the Sydney industry are?
It's very easy moving to a new place because you can be whoever you want to be. So it's very nice to kind of have that freedom. But it's different here because it's kind of the mecca for young actors. Everyone moves, once they graduate, everyone from NIDA is already here.
Yeah.
People move from Whopper over here. Yeah. So there's so many young, attractive actors all looking for work, which is fine. But it's also a little bit scary because there is not that much more work here than there is in Melbourne. I know it changes in terms of, you know, sometimes a lot of things will be filming or shooting in Melbourne, sometimes a lot will be in Sydney, but it feels like there are a lot more actors than work here. And so there becomes this kind of a bit of a dangerous culture. I have found that a lot of young actors are wasting their days and focusing on other things. There's there's quite a heavy drug culture here, which I wasn't prepared for.
Oh, and
it's very strange. It feels very much closer to America in its attitude.
Does it feel much more international than Melbourne does, or is it?
I think it feels like it wants to be.
It wants to be. Yeah.
It feels like it. I feel like everyone is focusing on the external. Like, what can we get from overseas? How do I get overseas? How can I? How can I impress the people that are offshore? Exactly. Yeah. But not focusing their attention to what we can do here, which I know it sounds really negative, which I haven't had a negative experience with the industry here. Just the difference I find is that people in Melbourne are investing in what they can create together at home. Whereas here, I feel like everyone's looking outwards to be like, what can I do in order to get out of here to become something bigger? Because the celebrity culture I've found is a lot stronger here. You know, there's pros and cons about both, but I find that celebrity is much more a thing. You know, you see radio presenters on billboards everywhere in Sydney, which I wasn't prepared for.
You get that quite a bit in Melbourne.
Yeah, right.
It's popping up more and more.
It's so bizarre. Yeah. But I remember I was fortunate enough, my housemate was working on Love Child, so she was going to a lot of events and I was her plus one, which was great.
Great.
But there were all these red carpets and it was people's attitudes to the red carpets that really threw me. Like, people were watching the red carpets like a sideshow attraction. People were like watching and taking photos and I kind of felt like, oh, this is bizarre. And I didn't know anyone on the red carpet who was getting their photo taken. And I kind of was asking my friend, I was like, who are these people? And she's like, oh, I think that person's like a TV presenter for MTV or that person's, you know, a singer that hasn't released any songs yet. And it's just bizarre things where I go, where's the focus at?
Which
I wasn't prepared for, I think, because I'd done a lot of independent stuff in Melbourne. Yeah. So it's just a different side of the coin.
Sure.
But I am enjoying it by the same token. You know, I don't want to sound negative about Sydney because I like it.
I don't think it sounds negative at all. I mean, it's great to be aware of the differences. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's just a little bit scary to kind of go, okay, the pond is so much bigger here and everyone's striving for something different and and larger than what is here already.
Well, you've taken the bull by the horns, though. I mean, what are you working on now yourself?
Well, the last
a few projects, isn't
there? Yeah, the last 5 months has been really massive. I kind of took that fear of not being able to get any work and wallowed in that for about a month and a half. And then I met some really, really talented actors and thought, they are so talented. I met them at the Larry Moss workshop and saw their work. And I thought, everyone needs to see this in Sydney. Like, there's no point why we can't show them this. And I kind of found three plays, put them together as part of Fringe Festival, which was really successful. We did
just wrapped that.
We wrapped on the 28th of September. We were from the 8th through the 28th. So we did three plays in 3 weeks.
And we're just awarded as
Can
we talk about that?
Thank you. Thank you.
Excellence in Theatre was the award?
Yeah. So the Fringe did 300 shows this year, Sydney Fringe. And I think they're really, over the next 3 years, they're trying to make it a lot stronger and create a bigger sense of community, which is really, really needed, I think, here. And so, our three shows were all American pieces, and one of them was This Is Our Youth by Kenneth Lonergan. Mm-hmm. And we had an amazing team of actors in there. We had Josh Brennan, Scott Lee, and Georgie Scott, all young kind of guys that no one really knows, but are super talented. And we tied the Excellence in Theatre Award, I think, over 86 shows or something.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was really great. It was
very
a bit
impressive.
Magic.
And thanks. So that's under the title of The King's Collective.
The King's Collective.
We've mentioned on
the podcast
a few podcasts
before.
Ago. Yeah. Yes, as one thank to watch. So very exciting to hear that you've now won awards.
Yeah, thank you for watching us. Yeah, we were sold out for the last two plays of our season. All the shows were sold out, which was really
fantastic.
Overwhelming and great. So, yeah.
And so what have you got coming up next?
Yeah, so we're kind of trying to figure out how to find our own voice now, because it's kind of... when you do some work that has a really good response, you kind of have now a responsibility to kind of continue creating and delivering kind of a certain level of work that continues to inspire people. So we're trying to find our voice in terms of what plays we want to put in next year. We're looking at doing maybe four plays across the year rather than a kind of trilogy straight up. So we're doing that. I've also got some screen projects on the go. I've written two short films that I'm hoping to make over summer, and a feature film that I've been writing for the last 2.5 years. trying to kind of work on that. Yeah, it's going to be good.
It's interesting with the collective too as well, because you were saying delivering, but then there's also developing as well, right? That's the next step.
Exactly.
Where did we go with this?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's been such a nice response for everyone in Sydney that came and saw the shows. Have offered financial support, support in kind, kind of wants to know how they can help us create and build on what we already have. So we're looking at doing a devised piece potentially next year. We're looking at trying to be diverse and not niched into like American naturalism or youth stories. We're trying to create a sense of community.
Yeah, at the same time though, I mean, it's something Nick and I talk about a lot with the podcast, this idea of voice.
Yeah.
And what we want, you know, to give to audiences, it'll be sharing and that sort of thing. Obviously the youth of your group, the youth and the talent is a really strong
key driver.
Point. I imagine that you'll want to continue to explore. Like I loved the way the message that I got from the stuff for your shows for the Fringe Festival, you know, was those themes of youth and bravery. And exploring those ideas. Is that something that you think you'll continue to develop?
Absolutely. I mean, we're all under 25. There are five of us at the moment. And I think the biggest thing that I kind of wanted to push against that, what I was talking about before, the young actors community culture in Sydney, I kind of wanted to say, you know what, let's all focus on how we can empower ourselves rather than waiting around for these auditions, which I was doing. How can I put on something and invite the industry to come and watch and be like, these are the roles we are wanting to play. These are the stories we want to tell. Come and watch us tell them. And then, you know, trying to flip that casting network on its head and go, come and watch us rather than invite us into the room, you know? And it actually fortunately has opened up a lot of doors for us that way, so which has been great.
And straight off the back of that too, I mean, this is a bigger question.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the start or the key to what you're wanting to do, but it's good storytelling. I mean, it has to be there, doesn't it?
It has to be there.
What do you think the key to good storytelling is?
I really, for me, the stories that I connect with the most are the ones that are really, I think truth is the biggest thing for me, and the stories that we told at the Fringe are all, you know, it's easier with naturalism, but they're all very true accounts of what it means to be young and what it means to be human, and something that you can immediately connect with, because the theme is universal, and if you connect with the truth of the character and the humanity, the audience will be with you 100%, you know. So I think they're the stories that I love the most. And I think if you regardless of your aesthetic and how you want to present your theatre, as long as you have the truth there, some semblance of truth for your character, the audience will be with you. You know, you have to make them feel like they're a part of something when they're watching a story, so then they can ride that wave with you. Because if you push them and kind of neglect to invite them in, they won't enjoy the story.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, well, I think yes,
right.
And on that note, it has been so lovely catching up with you today.
Thank
and
you,
we
Lana.
Look forward to touching base with you in future.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks,
Dave.
Cheers.